welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you who are joining us online. We have celebrated Holy Communion this morning to remember what Jesus has done for us, that we might experience the gift of God's amazing salvation. Jesus lived, he died, and God raised him from the grave. Because of who he is, the Son of God, and because of what he has done, given his life for our sins, we experience forgiveness. Amen? We experience the gift of new life. Amen? And we experience being declared justified, being declared not guilty. At the beginning of this year, I had this conviction. I had this conviction that we needed to clarify our discipleship pathway, the understanding of how does a person become a disciple. Now, we have a mission that's fairly clear. We talk about that. Who can help me with our mission? We are making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Yeah, that's our mission, and we want to put that out front and be driven. Everything that we're doing is driven by this mission. But I realize that our understanding of the process of, you know, how a disciple is made could be clarified. And so we began praying about it. We were talking about it. And over time, we found a graphic that we liked. We adapted it a little bit, and we titled it The Road to Discipleship, the Road of Discipleship. And there's one of them in your bulletin this morning. I hope that you might use that as we go along in the sermon, but I also hope that you will take this. It's going to be a pathway to visit with somebody else about how they can become a growing disciple, how they can be on the road to discipleship, the road of discipleship. You might put this in your Bible. There may be a time when you're mentoring, maybe a child, a young person, maybe somebody comes into your life, and you could share this road of discipleship. Well, how does a person become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing to happen in the process, according to our road, is a time of exploring Christ. So in this phase, we have not crossed the line of faith yet. We are just exploring. We're seeking to know, to understand more about Christ and Christian faith. And guess what? Everyone starts in this place, don't we? Perhaps there's some stirring in our heart. Or maybe someone has shared with us about Christ and we're intrigued by that. Or maybe something has happened in our lives and all of a sudden we have new ears to hear. We have a new reason to seek answers to the questions, the bigger questions of life. And so we find ourselves in that place of seeking and exploring. And of course, the good news is, according to Titus 2:11, get this, for the grace of God that brings what? Salvation has appeared to whom? All people. God's grace that brings salvation has come in the person of Jesus Christ and is made available to all people. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, defined grace as God's bounty, his free, his undeserved, his unmerited favor toward us. There is nothing that we can do to merit or to earn God's grace. He has freely given it to us as a gift. And that's the place where we start. And you know, there was a long time in my life when I did not understand God's grace. Had no concept of it. My idea of God was that, you know, he had his expectations of me, and he was not pleased. He was not pleased with me, and there were things, there wasn't much that I could really do to be pleasing to God. I could try, but I didn't have any sense that I'd ever be able to measure up. I had never heard about the grace of God. Well, John Wesley had a term for God's grace toward us during this exploring, during this seeking time. He called it prevenient grace or preceding grace, the grace that goes before. He understood it as the work of the Holy Spirit in the world to woo us and to somehow try to draw us to himself. Wesley understood that, you know, long before we are ever aware of it, God is trying to reach us. He's trying to reach us. And he uses all kinds of means to do it. One of the things that he uses is the beauty of his creation. Have we ever been somewhere or had the experience of just stepping back and saying, wow, Lord, you have created this? Sometimes he uses our conscience, that which he has given us, to draw us to himself. Other times, relationships. Maybe it's our family, or maybe it's the Christian community. Sometimes we experience spiritual unrest, and God uses that unrest to draw us to himself. Sometimes we feel pangs of guilt, and guilt is not necessarily always a bad thing. Sometimes it is the thing that draws us to seek God. Sometimes there is this pull toward, you know, Lord, I just, there has to be a better life. There has to be more that's out there for me. And God uses that yearning, that seeking to draw us to himself. We've all experienced the prevenient grace of God, I'm convinced. Were there people or circumstances? Were there events or situations that God used to draw you closer to himself? We've all had our own story. For some people, it might have been a conversation with a parent or a friend. Other people might say, for me, I went to camp, and God did an amazing thing at camp. Or, you know, I had this Bible study experience, and during this Bible study, God did an amazing thing. It might be a positive experience that moved you. Sometimes painful experiences of our lives that we go through are the things that draw us towards God. Sometimes, you know, we're on a path and we're going down the path, and maybe it isn't necessarily God's best path for us. And then something happens and it shakes us, and we realize, you know, this isn't the path that I'm supposed to be on. And we have a new openness and a new awareness of trying to seek God and his best for our life. For me, there were several things that came together to open my heart toward the things of God. One thing was uncertainty about the future. So there was a time in my life when I was looking to figure out, what am I going to do next? I didn't know what to do. And so I was searching. I was seeking God in high school. At the same time, my parents had come to this new experience of faith in Jesus Christ after they had gone to a marriage enrichment retreat weekend. And I could tell, man, Mom and Dad, something is different. Something is different. They're talking about Jesus in a way I've never heard them talk about him before. And at the same time, I had a girlfriend who was asking me questions. She was telling me about her faith, and she was asking me questions about mine. And I realized, man, I do not have the answers to her questions. And so all of those things were coming together to help me create a new interest. All of a sudden, I realized I've got this new interest in the things of God, and I have an openness to seek more understanding about what it means to follow this guy Jesus. What was all that? That's God's prevenient grace. That was the work of the Holy Spirit wooing me and using circumstances and people and conversations to draw me to himself. What's your story? We all have a story. I'm convinced God is trying to reach every human being in the world. He is trying to reach us. He is trying to get to the place where we can hear his voice. Well, what's the next step in becoming a disciple of Jesus on the road of discipleship? It's to be transformed in Christ. This is the point at which we make the decision to cross the line of faith. We walk through the door. We decide to place our faith in Jesus, to turn from our old ways, to believe the gospel and accept Him as the Lord and Savior of our life. And guess what? This is a huge step of faith. A huge step. And God honors our faith. You know, He says, it doesn't take much faith. Just take a mustard seed of faith and plant it and see what God will do. God takes our faith. He honors our faith, and here's what He does. He first of all says, I'm going to forgive you of your sins because of your faith in what my Son Jesus has done. And not only that, I'm going to send you the power of the Holy Spirit from on high. And that Holy Spirit is going to begin to live in you and begin to work a work in you by my power. And also, I'm going to provide you, God says, with new peace. Peace with me, peace within yourself, and peace that you can discover in your relationship with other people. Well, that's some amazing things. And it happens because we choose to exercise our faith and to believe the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul talks about it like this in Romans 5:1. He says this, therefore, since we have been what? Justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, according to John Wesley, is another word for pardon. It's forgiveness of all of our sins and acceptance by God. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's how I like to think about justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. Pardoned, forgiven. As we repent of our sins and choose faith in Christ, God forgives us, and what a powerful experience that is. Wesley considered justifying grace as the doorway into the house of God's salvation. So think about it like this way. Prevenient grace is like the porch. I'm out on the porch of the house. There's the door. I'm looking at the door. I'm looking at the house. I'm on the porch. I'm kind of exploring. I'm not sure. Do I want to go in? Do I not want to go in? Justifying grace is when it's the doorway. There's the doorway. And if I choose, I can walk through that doorway that God has for me. And we walk through it and we enter the kingdom of God and He forgives us. He gives us a new identity. He says, come in. You are now my children. You are sons. You are daughters of my own. And He welcomes us into the body of Christ, the church. Amen. John Wesley's description of his own experience of a Bible study. It was a Bible study for Wesley. He writes about it. He was on a street in Aldersgate, London, May 24th, 1738. It's a great illustration of God's justifying grace on the road of discipleship. He writes about it, these words, at about a quarter before 9 p.m., while he's talking about the leader of the Bible study, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I found my heart strangely warmed. I felt that I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that He had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. It was a moment of God's justifying grace touching and changing John Wesley's heart. Has this happened for you? And if it has, how has it happened? Was there a place? Was there a moment? Was there a Bible study? Was there an experience? I can't point to a specific moment, a specific place, a specific time. But I know that it happened in the summer of my senior year in high school. As I kept reading the scripture, as I kept praying as best I could, that summer, at some point, I decided, you know what? I believe. These things that I'm reading about, that I've heard about all my life, the dots are making sense now. And I understand. And I choose to believe. Well, first we're exploring Christ. Then we're transformed by Christ. And the next place on the road of discipleship is we are maturing in Christ. So our decision to believe Christ is not the end of the discipleship road. Hello? It's really just the beginning. Even though we are forgiven, even though we have this new identity in Christ, we find that God still has great plans for us. In fact, God wants us to grow up and to become mature in our faith. Again and again, Paul in the New Testament, writers, all of them encouraged Christ followers to seek more of God and to seek to be different. And so as he addresses the church at Corinth, this is what he says to them in 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those who are what? Sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be what? Holy. So that word sanctified, it means to be holy. It's indicating the process by which we are made holy in response to justification. So through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we are enabled to increase in our love and our knowledge of God and in our love and our appreciation for our neighbor. John Wesley's understanding of this sanctifying grace moved beyond forgiveness and acceptance and our new identity as children of God. He believed this. He believed that God wants us to be conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, to be restored, to be made whole, to become the complete person that God has intended us to be. So if prevenient grace is like the porch of the house of salvation, I'm out here on the porch, and if justifying grace is the door and our decision to walk through it, walking through it is justifying grace, sanctifying grace represents all the rooms that we have available for us as we walk through the door into the expanse of God's amazing presence, of His amazing presence. So we're on the porch and we're exploring, and then we enter through the door and we are believing, and then we experience all that God has for us by maturing, by growing up, by letting the Spirit of God have more and more impact, more and more influence in our lives. So the maturing process, it's a lot like, you know, the physical growth process that we go through as well. First we're infants, and then we become toddlers, and then we grow up into adolescents, who grow up into young adults, who eventually grow up into mature adults. It's a natural process, and God has established it. And wouldn't it be like God that He would provide a natural order for our spiritual growth as well? So first, on the road to discipleship, we're exploring Christ. And then we are transformed in Christ when we choose to believe in Jesus. And then from then on, we are maturing in Christ as we cooperate with God's Holy Spirit at work within us to lead us and to guide us into growing maturity. And the key at this stage of the discipleship pathway, as I have experienced it, is this: learning to abide in Christ, learning to remain in Christ, learning to stay connected by the Spirit with the living Christ in ever-increasing ways. Jesus is the one who said in John 15:5, not on your outline, but here it is, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. As I experience my own relationship with Jesus, I have learned that abiding, this abiding thing, is key. If I want to see kingdom of God fruit growing in my life, can I create it myself? Man, I'm going to create some kingdom fruit. I used to think that's what I got to do. I got to create it myself. Then I got a little bit more maturity and I realized, no, I just need to be connected with Christ. He is the one who creates the fruit that develops in me, if there's going to be any. Because remember what he said, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. And I'm finding, I've found that there's some real truth to that when it comes to things of the Spirit. So for me, that means daily conversation with Jesus. It means carving out time to be with him. It means speaking to him and letting him speak to me through his word. Letting him speak to me through his word. Letting him speak to me by the Spirit. I'm walking along and all of a sudden, just a thought and I've learned that sometimes that's the Spirit of God. Sometimes he uses other people to speak into my life. And I've learned to hear that. Someone has said, I want to be so full of Jesus. That's really what this is about. Abiding is about being full of Jesus. I want to be so full of Jesus that if a mosquito bites me, it flies away singing. There is power in the blood. That's a corny story, but I thought, man, I get it. One more destination of traveling toward the road of discipleship, centered in Christ. This is the person for whom Christ has become the center of their life. Now, in his day, John Wesley talked about Christian perfection. By that, he meant holiness of heart and life. Now, Wesley was very well aware of Jesus' admonition to his followers in Matthew 5:48. This is what he said. Be what? Perfect. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Did Jesus really say that? Did he say that? There it is. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And Wesley read that and he wrestled with that. Now remember, Jesus, he was regularly calling his disciples to higher standards, like, love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you and be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. In Wesley's sermon titled Christian Perfection, he declared that Christian perfection doesn't mean that Christians are exempt from ignorance or exempt from making mistakes or from experiencing struggles or from being tempted. No. For him, perfection was another term for holiness, going on to perfection. That's what he talked about. He says going on to perfection is the process of being made perfect in love. Being made perfect in love. Not that I don't make mistakes, but I can, in my heart, in my purpose, I can be purposing to love. And we can become going on to perfection in love, as well as, letting go of the desire, the compulsion to sin. How does it happen? Well, it doesn't happen in our own strength. Remember, we can't work up our own faith strength. It happens when we commune with God's Holy Spirit, when he is working within us, when we are abiding in Christ, he does a marvelous work in us. What is the result of going on to perfection? Well, we become the true person that God has created us to be. We reflect the image of Christ. When people see you, they begin to see Jesus. Amen? The love of God truly has been shed abroad in our heart. When people encounter you, they encounter that love. They say, man, that person, they always help me to feel, I don't know what it is, but I walk away from them feeling like I've been blessed. What is that? That is God's love having been shed abroad in our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in our life. People come around us and they experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They experience that and they say, man, And that is the picture of the disciple who is centered in Christ, who is abiding in their relationship with Jesus, who is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the person who has learned to grow in what it means to know Christ, to love Christ, to serve Christ. And man, we've got a whole bunch of serving opportunities in our community right now, don't we? This flooded episode has impacted so many. And next week, serve my city in that opportunity. Well, to sum it all up, remember this and celebrate. The road of discipleship is a road to abundant and everlasting life. Abundant life because God has provided us with every spiritual blessing that we need for victory. And eternal life because, man, He's given us what we need for not only abundance here, but eternity in our future. So wherever you are at on the road of discipleship, whether you're exploring or whether you're being transformed or whether you'd say, hey, I'm maturing, or whether you might say, man, I am closer to being centered than I ever have, Jesus is the key to your full and amazing life. Celebrate Him. Worship Him. Believe in Him. He's the one with the authority and the power to transform us, to change us, and to send us out to make a difference in the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Let's pray about it. Oh, Lord, we thank You for this time of remembering and celebrating today. We have remembered what Jesus has done for us in the communion, His life, His death, His resurrection. Help us to be free indeed. We're grateful. We are thankful. We've also celebrated the road of discipleship that You've laid out for us in the Scripture. All of us know what it is to explore the faith and to experience the wooing of Your Holy Spirit, this grace that goes before us. And then that moment comes when we believe. And Your justifying grace sets us free from our bondage to sin and death. Hallelujah. But the work is only beginning. Then Your sanctifying grace is shown by the work of the Holy Spirit within us, helping us to become the true people You've created us to be. Lord, may we hear Your call to go on to perfection. Go on to perfection, and may we let Your Holy Spirit continue to lead and to guide, to shape and to mold our lives so that we reflect more and more of Jesus. He's the Master. He's the Lord of our lives, the Savior, the Redeemer. He's the one we glory in. He's the one with the power to truly transform us and change us, to set us free, to send us out. We thank You. We thank You again, Lord Jesus. In Your mighty name we pray this day. And everyone said, amen, amen, as we close our...